Good morning to everyone. It is a beautiful day, and we are off to an amazing start in our day, in our time of worship. And we're so thankful that all of you are here, and so thankful that that you've chosen to be here to worship our God together, and to be able to come out and sing songs of praise to His name. It's just such a treat and such a thrill to be able to do that along with you. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. If you're just passing through, we're so glad you took the time to stop in and be with us. And if you are new to the area or you live in the area and are looking for a church home, we hope that you would consider us as a community that you might be willing to come and be a part of. That song will always hold a special place in my heart, the one that Joe just led. I remember just hours after the passing of his father, I was actually on my way to the hospital when I called Joe and found out that he had just passed only moments before. And I was wondering how I was going to find the room where they were located. And you've done the same thing I have. You've stepped off that elevator and you've tried to figure out the room number, and they give you a range of room numbers and put an arrow this way. And I was trying to figure out how am I going to find this room. And they made it easy for me because it was the room with "O Thou Fount of Every Blessing" booming out of the door. As they were gathered together as a family, singing praises to God, even in the moments of their deepest loss. And so I appreciate him for leading that song. Today is a day that we typically celebrate our mothers. And happy Mother's Day to all of you. But I recognize that it's not always the most joyous of days for some, at least not here on this earth, because there are people in our audience who've lost their mothers in this physical world. There are mothers in the audience who've lost children, and that is an incredibly hard thing. And so we want to make sure that we celebrate and honor all women that are part of our congregation today, but especially to make mention of the fact that we love you, and we celebrate and honor you, and we're here with you, weeping with you, if this day stirs up emotions in you that are not pleasant because of the physical pain and physical loss that we sometimes endure in this life. But what an amazing day to be able to stand up here and talk to you for just a few minutes. Just like Clay said, what better day to get up and make the remarks in front of the Lord's table here before celebrating that communion with Him. What an amazing day to be able to stand up here in an attitude of rejoicing and to rejoice with you, along with the angels, along with Drew, along with the whole Allison clan, and all the joy that has filled their hearts today. What an amazing day it has been. I want you to turn to Psalm 51 for just a few moments today. I was really struggling all week with what to preach about. It's hard sometimes to figure out what you're going to preach about the sermon after you finish a series. At least it is for me. Because when you're in a series, you kind of know what the path is that you're going to follow. And so you kind of know what's next in the series, or at least you have an idea about what's next in the series. And so you can spend that week really focusing on, well, what comes next. But when you finished something and then you have to pick about what to do the next week, that can be hard sometimes, especially if that next week happens to be on Mother's Day. And so what do you do? And so I've spent all week Googling things like most powerful Mother's Day sermon ever, trying to find just this awesome, like mind-blowing, is going to make you feel like you're floating out of here on a cloud kind of sermon that I was just going to rock your face off with, this amazing Mother's Day sermon. And I found out that there are a lot of preachers all over the country that have no clue what to preach about on Mother's Day. And so I didn't get any ideas from that, or at least I didn't see any that I thought were going to be that big, bold, powerful sermon that I was looking for. And then Drew decides to write the sermon for us. Thank you, Drew, for that. And that gives me the opportunity to just get up here and talk and let the Word guide us in some thoughts about the decision that she has made today. If you were joining us after we started our singing, there's a reason why the drapes are open. We had a baptism this morning. Drew Allison came forward and put her faith in Christ and wanted to be baptized. And so we did that first thing and got kicked off that way. And what a blessing that was. We remember when Mike and Sue were baptized, and we did a whole sermon about Mike and Sue and what happened to Mike and Sue when that happened. And I'm not going to re-preach that sermon, but one point that I remember and hope you remember from that sermon is that when someone makes the decision to follow Christ, that God stops everything in heaven and commands His angels to look down on that spot into the heart of that person and bids them to rejoice over that one that was lost that has now been found, that one that has now been cleansed and born into the family of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. I was thankful to be standing up here and listening to your expressions of joy out in the audience. It is never more depressing than to have someone be raised to walk in new life and to hear crickets chirping in the audience as a response to that. If the angels in heaven are hooping and hollering and they are rejoicing, our rejoicing should be very similar to what theirs is. And I just wish sometimes we would be able to peel back the veil between here and heaven and see what their rejoicing looks like, so that we could respond in like kind. But thank you for rejoicing with Drew, rejoicing with the family, rejoicing with all of us here as part of this community. That's the kind of encouragement and strength that will fill her and fill us with new strength to be able to go out and wage this war against the evil one and on the side of the power of our Most High God. And so thank you for that. But there's also another side of this that I want us to consider here for just a few minutes. I'm sure whenever you see someone make the decision that Drew has made this morning, I'm sure your mind goes back to the day when you made that decision, if you have. And so that's a good thing. That's good for us to do that. But a lot of times, I don't know if you're like me, but a lot of times it's hard for you to fully go back and feel that way again, because you know what you've done since then. And maybe there are some things that you've done that you're really not proud of. And there's some things that you've done that have just over time weighed you down a little bit. And so all of us, if you've made that decision to die to yourself and to put on Christ, you know how heavy you felt weighed down with sin. And you know what you felt like that moment that you first believed, that moment that you first confessed, that moment that you first came up out of those waters, a new creature, cleansed of your sins, knowing that this wasn't the end of it, but just feeling that weight of sin just fall away. That was the most amazing feeling in the world to you. And yet, some time has passed, and more sins have been committed, and maybe we start to feel that weight pressing down upon us. And we're no different than anybody that's ever lived, with the exception of Jesus in this. I bring you to Psalm 51 because David had done something bad, and I mean really bad. And by really bad, I mean David broke 50% of the Ten Commandments in a weekend. That's bad. And he's weighed down by that. And he should have been for a time. This was a bad weekend for David. He had not only lusted after a woman in his heart, he had then brought that woman to himself, committed adultery with her, had her husband killed so that he could then take her as his wife. And now Nathan the prophet has come to him and told him, not only does God know about it, but God's going to make sure that everybody else knows about it too. And so, not only do we have to suffer through the guilt of knowing that God knows I've done something bad, but now others have found out or will find out about this really bad thing that I've done. And so David sits down and he pens this psalm. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I want to read the plea that he makes starting in verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. David, feeling weighed down with sin and grief, says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain with me," or me, "with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you." See, David had the same problem that we have sometimes. Some years pass, some sins are committed, some really bad ones are included in there, and all of a sudden we feel this weight of sin pressing down upon us. And David's plea is this: "Make me clean again, Lord. Help me to be able to feel the way I felt when I first believed. Help me to go back and feel the joy of what it felt like to first enter into your salvation. To first feel the weight of those sins lifted away, washed away. Help me to remember what that felt like. And then, once I feel clean, once I feel renewed, once I feel the joy of salvation, then I'll go tell everybody about it." I bet there's, if we were to poll everybody that's ever committed their life to God through faith in Jesus Christ, everybody that's ever done that, and felt that weight of sin lifted away from them, I bet if we polled the audience of everybody that's ever done that, we would come away with the exact same response to that. And that response is, "I am now going to set the world on fire. I'm going to tell everybody about this salvation that I found in Jesus. I'm going to tell everybody about what Jesus did for me. And people are going to know about my God. They're going to know about His Son. They're going to know about His death, His burial, His resurrection. They're going to know about the power of the Holy Spirit and what that can do in the life of a believer. They're going to know it because I'm going to tell them and I'm going to show them and I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops." Didn't you feel that way? I did. But what happens over time? Some sins get committed. Some big ones. The weight of that sin starts to press down upon us, and we forget how it feels to be saved. And while we still may go through the motions, we don't just give up when we start to feel that way, but it does start to hinder our attitude and our influence on those around us, doesn't it? Because we just don't feel clean anymore. We don't feel that same level of commitment that we once felt. And it's not because we're doubtful about who God is or what He's done. It's that we allow ourselves to think really too highly of ourselves in thinking that we actually have something to do with all of this. That was never the case. It was always God and what He was doing and what He has done and His ability to do so. And so what happens is sometimes I think we start trusting too much in ourselves, and we realize, like we found out in Genesis chapter 3 this morning, that there's nothing that I will ever be able to do that will be sufficient in order to cover the shame of my sin. I can't get back. I can't take myself back to the moment when I first believed. I can't restore myself to the joy of salvation. Only God can do that. And so I hope that what you've experienced here today, and thank you, Drew, for encouraging us all to feel this way. I hope that you see the joy that she feels, and I hope that you see the joy that her family feels, and I hope that you understand the joy in heaven as a result of the commitment that she has made today. And I hope that you will then be encouraged to say, I want to feel that again. I want the Lord to restore me to those feelings of when I first believed, that clean heart, that steadfast spirit, that joy that is associated with salvation and knowing that I'm saved, and then say that is going to empower me to go out and tell everybody about the salvation that can only be found in Jesus. One other thing I'd like to say before we bring this to a close and give Jay his wish of an early Mother's Day dinner. Supper, dinner, lunch, whatever it's called. Whatever you call it, the second meal of the day. That's what. I'm already a little bit wet. I had a different T-shirt, luckily. I turned it around backwards because it had Super Dad on it. It was like the Superman logo, and I was like, I'll flip it around. It's already a little bit wet. And the waiters are already a little bit wet. And somebody's already going to have to do some laundry. There are people in this audience that need to make the same decision Drew made. And you probably know that. And you may have known that for a while. And I'm not going to call any names. I don't even know what your names are. But there are people that are part of our group that come here regularly that have not yet committed their life to the Lord, have not yet said, I want to stop following myself and I want to start following Him. And I want to do that from now on, and I want to do that forever. And I'm so glad that Drew not only made the decision that she made, but that she was okay with us saying, let's do it now. Because I hope that her decision has made us all think about where we all stand. We made the point in our class from Genesis chapter 3, the way that God could have rewritten that chapter. What could God have done? He could have arrived on the scene. He could have said, get out here and let me dole out the punishment that you all deserve. But that's not what God did. God came onto the scene and He asked a simple question. Where are you? And a question like that and a passage like that is like a preacher's dream, because there's like 30,000 applications that you can make from such a simple verse. And the application we made today is that God constantly asks this question of everybody that's ever lived. Where are you? Where are you today? Where are you in relation to God? Where are you in your decisions about whether to follow Him or not? Have you followed Him in the past, but you're not following Him now? Why? Why are you not following Him any longer? Why are we going through the motions without truly surrendering our all to Jesus, as we just sung that we have and will? And if you haven't yet made that commitment to God, and you haven't yet surrendered your all to Jesus, I would ask you this question. Where are you? What does that mean in the grand scheme of things? I have not yet committed my life to God through faith in Jesus. So where does that put me? And then the second question would be this. Why are you waiting? What is it that hinders you? What is it that stands between you and a decision to follow Christ? And I want to encourage you Drew wants to encourage you. The whole family of believers here in Northside want to encourage you to have the strength to step out in faith and say, I can't do this anymore. Only God can, and I'm going to trust in Him to do just exactly what He's promised to do. Are you ready to surrender your all to Jesus? Won't you do that as we stand and sing a song to encourage you?